Hello and welcome to another episode of I Could Never Be Here on Popcorn Talk. Nothing like a little David Bowie to open the show. And there's a good reason. This song, Fashion, perfectly describes our guest today. If you're new to us, I am your host, Michael Klaus. You can follow me on Instagram, on Twitter, at TheOnlyMC. We appreciate those joining us live on YouTube. You can do that every single Monday here on Popcorn Talk. You can also join us on iTunes. Please give us those 5 stars. Be kind. The world needs it right now. A lot of sadness going on, but hopefully we can provide some happiness, some inspiration, some positivity in your life. And the guest today is definitely going to do that. She is a leader in the fashion industry, has dressed a countless number of stars in sports and entertainment. I'm talking Russell Westbrook, Magic Johnson, Anthony Davis, The Rock. Lena Waithe also just used her suit as she accepted her Emmy just about 10 days ago. Please welcome Joanna Alba.
Thank you for
How are you doing?
Me. I'm amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I gotta say, I've never been more nervous for an interview to figure out what to wear, knowing that you're a fashion designer. So how did I do?
You did amazing. Bomber jacket, you're color coordinated, love the tan shoes. You're good to
yes.
go.
Yes, yes. All the style advice that I've gotten over the years, it actually worked. Now, do you see and find yourself like walking down the street or anywhere you go, like looking at people's fashion and not judging, but wanting to critique?
You know, it's interesting. I was at a wedding this past weekend, and I was actually looking at things that I wanted instead of
really?
Critiquing. I'm like, oh, I want that in my closet. I want that in my closet. Everybody, you know, teach his own. So
it almost, you find inspiration then in
Absolutely.
A lot of these places.
I do.
Interesting. And we're getting in, you know, we talked a lot about the sports stars. 1,100 athletes and entertainers that you dress. Is that crazy to think, knowing where you started to now 1,100?
It just keeps growing. It's really hard to fathom. I mean, I've been doing this for a long time,
yeah.
and right now it is a busy season, so mm-hmm. we're juggling baseball, football, basketball, and then, you know, we have some entertainers that we dress as well that keep us busy throughout the year.
Yeah, The Rock is a constant.
Well, I work with his stylist, Robert Mata, and, mm-hmm. you know, we work really well together, and you know, he's doing some movies, he's done some commercials, so we definitely keep busy.
Absolutely. And, you know, you said we're 2 weeks out from the NBA season, even preseason just started. So that's ramping up again. Magic Johnson, a longtime client, what, 25 years?
That makes me sound old.
That makes you sound experienced.
You know what? That's a funny thing that you say. Harrison Barnes, he plays for mm-hmm. the Mavericks. I just recently did his wedding, too. And when we first met, he was asking how long I've been in the industry, and I said 25 years, and he said, I wasn't even born yet. So I stopped saying that. I just say for a long time.
Does that involve a lot of travel? You know, you go and you fit these people. Is that you traveling now? Is it a lot of other people traveling?
Well, I have a team. Mm-hmm. I have a design team. I love to travel, so I don't mind it at all. It does consist of a lot of travel.
Awesome, awesome. And I know you're starting a women's line soon,
we
which
are.
Is exciting, kind of branching out.
We are. You know, I've done it in the past. Mm-hmm. I used to do suits for the WNBA, Lisa mm-hmm. Leslie, Cheryl Swoops, Rebecca Lobo.
Yep.
Those were all my clients. And I decided, well, I was getting a lot of requests now for custom suits for women, so I said, why not? Let's do it again.
Awesome, awesome. Well, again, I'm so excited to dig into your story because I know it, like, you're saying, oh, I've been doing it for a number of years, which is crazy. You know, you actually, and we'll find out, you know, how long. And so we're excited to kind of hear that inspiration. But I want to tease ahead. At the end of the show, we're going to be doing kind of a fast, fun fashion quiz and, like, tips. And so I reached out to a lot of my viewers. I got a lot of questions of, like, maybe some fashion style questions that they had. And so I'm going to be able to get your advice on that. Hopefully able to help other people become as stylish as me.
Your words. <good. laughs>
Your words, not mine. But six years old is when you started. How did that happen at such a young age?
Well, my mother used to sew, mm-hmm. and I would just watch her sew, and I just wanted to get involved, and it was something that her and I did together as a mother, you know, daughter team. She actually works with me now. She runs my production house.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, 72 years old and still running it, but it was just something that I wanted to, you know, I enjoyed seeing the start from start to finish, and I wanted to get involved in designing and making my own clothes, and I started making my own clothes at the age of 6.
A lot of people maybe have those goals when they're young. They're, you know, they're little kids, and, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? Was it always a fashion designer?
Not at all.
Really?
No, not at all. I knew I loved it. And also, you know, I'm from the Philippines, and mm-hmm. When we moved out here, we really didn't have much, and our sewing machine would always break, and my mother taught me how to sew by hand. So, I have two older siblings. I would steal clothes from their wardrobe, and I would, like, combine the two and make my own. It was something that I enjoyed doing.
Awesome. And, like, did that just continue then as you grew up? You said you were taking stuff from your brothers and sisters, and was it just, you know, it just constantly developed?
Yes, I still do it now. I'm always
constantly. They're used to it now?
Yeah, they are. It's like they give me all their hand-me-downs still, and I love to be creative. I love to, you know, recycle, and I'm inspired by vintage clothing, and mm-hmm. and I still go back into my closet and say, thank God I didn't get rid of this piece because now it's back, like the leopard skin jacket, you know?
What is it, every 20 years, every 30 years it recycles? I mean, how often do things actually recycle?
Well, you know, now the 70s are back.
Yeah.
You know, last year it was the 80s. So, you know, it really depends. But I love it because I have a 14-year-old and she's wearing things that I was wearing in the 80s. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is insane. But it's fun.
Talking about very humble beginnings, and you're coming from the Philippines, you're almost, you know, scraping together style, scraping together maybe things. What was that a challenge trying to maybe pursue your dreams or to be able to kind of advance coming from that? Or do you think back of how far you've come?
Oh, gosh. I've definitely come, you know, a long way. Very fortunate. And, you know, when I started making clothes for myself, I really didn't care what everybody else was saying. You know, I had friends that had, you know, the fancy clothes and the fancy car. And I had a little beat up Toyota Corolla that I would park in the back in high school when I first got my car.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was embarrassed. But now mm-hmm. I look back, I'm like, what was I embarrassed for? You know, that was my upbringings. That's my life. That's my story.
That makes you who you are today.
Absolutely.
Do you think back on that? I mean, does that inspire your designs or does that provide inspiration in your life?
All the time. I don't know if you recall the movie 16 Candles. Mm-hmm. I was so Molly Ringwald. I was that girl, you know? But always, you know, I'm always inspired by things like that.
Talking with you before the show, even, you know, into your teen years and you're always doing this design, but that still wasn't like your main job. Even you started out in fashion, kind of working at a tuxedo shop, but that was the part-time job. You wanted to be a teacher.
I did. I got my child development degree, and mm-hmm. I taught preschool from 8:30 to 12:30 every day, and then I worked at a tuxedo shop from 1 to 9, and then on the weekends just to pay my bills and whatnot. And I kept getting promoted at the tuxedo shop, and I ended up managing the highest volume tuxedo shop in the country. At 19,
wow.
And then I was doing weddings, like Rodney Pete and Holly Robinson's mm-hmm. wedding. I was doing events for Elton John, and I just got, you know, into the industry, and then that's when I met Magic Johnson, who's been my mentor for the last
couple years. I'm amazed at the work ethic that it takes. You know, a lot of my friends who are teachers are exhausted after a day of teaching, and to be able to go from that to then working an 8-hour shift, how did you sleep or how did you kind of find energy?
I don't know. And I still went out, you know, I was still hanging out with my friends and going to parties.
Cause you do live you did live in LA.
Yeah,
so
yeah, you know, it's just, I was passionate about everything that I did, everything I had laid my hands on. I knew that I had to do it and do it well. So being a preschool teacher, I knew I had to be organized, and then managing, you know, the over 10 people at the tuxedo shop, it's like I knew I had, you know, responsibilities. So it just
And you happened. Had a you started writing Post-it notes.
I did.
Tell me more about that. That is so intriguing, of just that constant reminder and encouragement in your life.
I had a mentor who said, if you really want something, just post it all over your house, like on your refrigerator, you know, on your mirror when you're getting ready, and things that you want to accomplish. Well, I was doing things that I wanted, you know, to have.
Yeah.
Like I wanted a convertible BMW, which I ended up getting. Nice. I wanted, you know, you know, I wanted to buy my own house. I wanted to do all these things. And then once I actually accomplished it, I'm like, okay, now what? You know, it was now my yellow sticky pads is, who are we going to help today? What are we going to do that matters for people? Our core value is giving back.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I know even Alba means a light beyond appearance.
It does.
Did that start off right away, or was that something that you just looked at Alba and kind of was able to create that?
Actually, it's an interesting story. So when I started Alba, I was always the person behind the scenes. I never wanted mm-hmm. to be, oh, get your clothes made by Joanna Alba. Like, I didn't want it to be all about me. I wanted to have a purpose. So I had a meeting with all my employees, and it was a three-day retreat at my house, actually, sleeping bags the whole nine, where we were coming up with our vision statement, our mission statement, and what does Alba stand for. And at the end of the retreat, we all came up with that, which means a light beyond appearance is not just, you know, we're not just dressing you. We mm-hmm. really want to get to know who you are and have a relationship with you and you know, build that relationship, but also help in the community and mm-hmm. get involved. So we get involved with a lot of our clients' foundations. We just recently, 2 weeks ago, was in Seattle for Cliff Avril's foundation, where we raised a lot of money for
there was. I saw another on your website. There was, I forget who the athlete was, had like a design label of shirts to be, it was like a hashtag something to be able to, yes, absolutely, mm-hmm. to be able to give back. And obviously a portion of that gives back as well, which is fantastic.
Yes.
The best relationship maybe that you have is that of Magic Johnson. And we're talking about when you're 19, you imagine, you know, you're kind of working at the tuxedo shop. What advice did he give you and kind of what role did he play in launching your career?
He said, build your enterprise. It's now it's time to build your enterprise.
Was that after knowing you for...
Oh, this was pretty like 5 years ago, to be honest. I used wow. to have a different company. Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, I separated and we sat down and he said, this is your time to build your enterprise. I'll always remember one thing I did. I asked him, I'm like, how can I ever repay you? And he said, by your success. So, you know, he's a man of, gosh, I don't know where I'd be without him. He leads by example, and I just feel like I owe it, you know, not only to him, but to mm-hmm. everybody that crosses my path.
What kind of a risk was that, building, kind of separating and going out on your own in a world that is, you know, very established in the very big names in the fashion industry? What risk was that? What was going through your mind?
I just had faith. That's all that, mm-hmm. you know, it's just, I woke up every morning and knew that I was doing the right thing. And, you know, I had my family to support me and my friends. And I just woke up every morning and said, I'm going to do this. And I had faith and, you know, now we're in a happy place.
Yeah, no, all that hard work is paid off. You know, the 13, 14, 15 hour days. And mm-hmm. it almost never stops. Right, because there's always inspiration. There's always things that you're looking at.
Yes.
Right,
hence my red eyes right now. So excuse that, but no, it's I'm passionate. It's my life. It's mm-hmm. my livelihood.
No, absolutely. And is it, you know, the fashion industry? Is it hard? Is it male dominated? Is it female dominated? What is the fashion industry for people who are kind of unaware of that whole side?
Well, I mainly do custom clothing. Mm-hmm. So in the custom clothing industry, it is a male-dominant industry. If you look back at bespoke clothing, it was mm-hmm. Men making tailored suits for men. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, a challenge to overcome when I'm going to locker rooms and, you know, waiting for the guys to come out so I can measure them. You know, it was a challenge. There's mm-hmm. a lot of locker room talk, but... one thing Magic did tell me is he said, the reason why I'm still with you and I've been with you for all these years is because of your reputation. So, you know, be honest, be true to yourself. And
I mean, I understand that your stature can be very intimidating as someone who, you're very tall, so you're
so tall.
That's just, that, I mean, yeah, compared to, you know, all these big athletes, I'm sure it's hard to be able to kind of, you know, address yourself almost or be able to stand out. Was that an issue, or how, did you just have to feel comfortable? You just felt comfortable.
I did. Mm-hmm. I did. If it, you know, I was confident and comfortable, so yeah. I knew that I was going to make you look good. You know, mm-hmm. Shaquille O'Neal was one of my clients from way back in the days, and I remember standing on his speaker, and he was holding the clipboard, and I was yelling out the measurements, and he was writing them down. So you know, it's I've had a good time, but confidence and
their reputation is certainly how your industry rewards, you know, its top people. And you're talking about the number of clients that you've had for a number of years, and word of mouth is important. Talk about how your business is spread through word of mouth.
I built my business on strictly word of mouth. You get one player on a team, and you know, they introduce you to their teammates, and then they get traded to another team, and then they introduce you to their teammates, and it's just like that domino effect.
Was that something that you learned early, of just the importance of maintaining that relationship and being able to, like, listen, you can't burn a bridge?
Oh, that's my biggest thing.
That's
never
it?
Never burn a bridge. Never burn a bridge. I say that all the time to, you know, my proteges and, and all of that. It's so important.
Just, is that something you learned firsthand, or you saw other people maybe make the mistakes?
Both.
Really?
Absolutely. I've made mistakes.
How so? Can you enlighten us maybe on something that you look back and you wish you had done differently?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, when I started building this business and working in the industry, it was always like, I don't want to say I had an ego, you know, oh, I'm trusting all these people. But in a sense, it's like I felt so, like powerful that I really, you know, now it's like, oh, my gosh, what was I thinking? It wasn't about who I'm dressing. It's about my purpose. So that's the difference between my old me and my new me.
And that's easy to do. I mean, we have so many pictures you'll be seeing throughout the podcast of you with Magic Johnson and you with Russell Westbrook and you with all these stars. And you have to have that confidence, but it's important to check that confidence maybe sometimes too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they're like friends of mine, you know. It's like, okay, Russell, I know you just signed this major contract. Congratulations. You know, but it's just, he's the same way, actually. Remember when I first walked in here and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm usually the person behind the scenes. I don't like being out in front, like I was saying with the name and all that. I'm usually the person behind the scenes. So this is out of my comfort zone. But
you're doing a great job.
Thank
by the way.
You. Because I'm just looking at you, not 40, like 300 pound football players. That'd be a different story. But Russell said the same thing. He said he was uncomfortable talking in front of, you know, a large group of people. But he's like, it gets easier. Gets easier. Yeah. But that's one thing I have to overcome.
Do you feel, you know, fashion is a way maybe people put on clothes and want to feel a certain persona? Is that something that you see maybe in some athletes of? They're almost sometimes using fashion to cover things up? Or is that something that when you're talking about these relationships, you're trying to make sure that they're dressing up for the right reasons and that they're comfortable in what they're wearing?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if you saw the last NFL, some of the designs in the past, past week. I think it exudes confidence. You know, if you're going to walk out there in a big floral, you know, suit with matching shoes, then that's, you know, they're confident. They know that they're going to go out there and they're going to do a really good job. But then I have some clients that are a little more conservative. So it really depends. But absolutely, it's I think if you're going to do something bold, then do it. Go all the way and do it. And then
that's
back it up by your game.
That's definitely a page out of Russell's playbook, because he has some of the most kind of flamboyant designs. I think flamboyant is a good word.
Sure.
If you don't know who Russell Westbrook is, Google Russell Westbrook and his fashion, and you'll see it is almost as talked about as his game sometimes when he's arriving to the stadium in some of these designs. Is a lot of that and a lot of the players that you work with, how much input do you have versus do they have on what they want to wear pregame, to red carpets, to award shows?
Well, Russell, for instance, he's on his own on a lot of the things. Like, I'll do his custom pieces and, again, the more conservative ones. Like, I did the NBA awards and, styled his wedding. But I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that, but...
Do they input of, like, oh, I would like maybe it to look like this, or I would like to have this message in the outfit? Or is that you? Is this you saying, I think that this would be a good look for this show? I think that for this, you know, series that you're playing, you know, a nice look would be here.
Well, I still want them to be involved. Mm-hmm. So we definitely collaborate back and forth. And at the end of the day, they make the final decision yeah. what they're going to wear and what they're going to feel comfortable in. But there's definitely a collaboration. And they try to go a little, you know, to the right. And I'll say, oh, let's go move over this way just a little bit. We might want to do that. And they trust me. And they yeah. know that I have their best interest in mind.
The designs that we've seen in past years of NBA drafts and NFL drafts and...
Can we just, like, not talk about that?
We got to talk about it a little bit because I love your attitude, and I think this is an attitude that a lot of people can have. You know, we're all looking to...
That was one of my mistakes.
That was one of your...
Well, you know what? I take that back. That's what was popular back then, so, yeah? you know.
Talking about Carmelo, but we won't talk
I'm
about that.
I'm so sorry, Carmelo.
But I think that's a lesson. I think that's something that a lot of people can learn from because you're always trying to stand out with fashion. Fashion's a great way to stand out. But you want to be able to look in 5, 10, 15 years and not be like, why was I, who was I trying to impress? What was I trying to do?
I know. I'm responsible and I take all full.
No, we just talked about that it is a mutual decision that they sign off on this. I'm helping you.
But I actually made it. Like, oh gosh. Yes. So styles have changed tremendously. Thank goodness.
Classic never goes out of style.
Gosh, never. And we were also talking about Russell's wedding attire. He wore the most formal attire you can wear. It's called white tie fair, white tie, white vest, and tuxedo tails. Mm-hmm. It's the most formal outfit that you can wear, and yeah. it's timeless. So you go back and you look at Fred Astaire, and mm-hmm. they're all wearing their tuxedos and tails. You know, can't go wrong.
Yeah, that's the advice that Joe Ostrowski, a former coworker of mine, gave. Was he was like, don't be throwing these colors and stuff in there. Literally, black and white. You're in 50 years. You can show your kids, and they're going to say, wow, you looked really dapper.
Right. I have a quick story, too, that I love to share because Charles Woodson, he'll probably kill me. I'm sorry. But anyways, he had a meeting with Magic Johnson, and he wore a yellow polo and some jeans. And Magic said, don't ever go to a business meeting ever wearing jeans and a polo. You yeah. should go in and look professional and wear a suit. I got a phone call from Charles the next day. Magic had given him my number. I flew to Atlanta, and Charles bought, like, 15 suits, like, 5 black, 5 gray, 5 blue, and there you go.
The number of suits that people have, and Magic only wears one suit once, and you know, he said, you know, that he donates them, right? Or what happens to all these suits? You know, Russell, the same way, only wears one suit every time. What yes. happens to all these suits?
From what I know about Russell, like, his friends come in and like, steal all his clothes.
Russ, I want to be one of your friends, man. I want to be it.
That's from what I know, from what I've heard. Magic, he donates to, you know, charities and NBA awesome. Players, a retired association and mm-hmm. whatnot.
It's amazing, too. I think the turnaround on some of these suits is incredible, too. The number of hours for a fully designed custom suit. Do you have any stories of... Last minute.
Recently, with Lena. Really? With Lena, yeah, for the Emmys. Her stylist, Tiffany, approached me and was like, I need a suit for her. We did it in 24 hours.
And that's like a full design, measurements and everything.
I mean, literally, they called me that evening. Lena came and got measured that morning. The next day, it was made, and we fitted her with minor alterations and ready for the Emmys.
Does that... Obviously, that provides a lot of stress. Does that provide a lot of, like, when you get done and you nail it? Obviously, we're seeing the picture here of Lena.
Gosh.
And it's such an incredible suit. And obviously, she won. She's on stage. She's kissing the Emmy.
Yeah.
Does that bring you more satisfaction just looking back and be like, we just pulled that off in 24 hours?
Oh, it's not common. So it gets easier every time. We pretty much have a system. I own my own production house downtown LA. So we mm-hmm. pretty much can navigate, you know, what gets made and by when, and yeah. we control all of that. But yes, very rewarding to see her and for her to win. I think we provided some luck. No, she's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, she is so amazing. So it was a pleasure working with her.
And that's, you know, for award shows, is there any events? I mean, does it seem like the number of events that you do increases? I mean, you're looking at games, you're looking at award shows. Is there, you always branching out?
Always.
Yeah.
I do not like to stay stagnant. I get too bored.
Yeah, and that's where the inspiration comes in, and always trying to find something new and trying to be different.
Always.
Which is fantastic.
Yes.
talking about the obstacles of turning around in 24 hours, and you know, we've talked about your upbringing, you know, coming obviously the Filipino background and growing up and not having a lot, and now looking at where you are now, which is incredible. You know, the names that we've dropped, the MVPs, the, you know, face of franchises that you work with. Looking back, what would you say is maybe the biggest obstacle that you faced or overcome? Or was there ever a time when you doubted maybe that you wanted to continue in this, or you were faced with like a fork in the road and you were like, is this what I want to keep doing?
Oh, I never said I never wanted to stop doing what I'm doing. I always refer to Magic because I always listen to him. Mm-hmm. And what he says. But he always says, when you stop loving what you're doing, then you need to stop. Mm-hmm. And find something else that you love. So, no, I haven't gone to that point yet. I still love what I'm doing. And I love, you know, what the company is about. And I love my team. And, you know, just keep growing.
And I think even your story of, you know, starting and you're working as a teacher and doing fashion is, you know, a lesson. And it's inspirational for a lot of people who have these passions, but they maybe think, oh, I can't actually do this full time. And they're working as a teacher, or they're working as another part-time job. Mm. It's inspirational. And what is your message maybe to them of maybe jumping off the edge and having faith?
I think if there's something that you will love to do, for instance, my executive assistant right now, Mackenzie, she moved here from Seattle. And she went to, you know, fashion school and everything, but she was working at Starbucks, and this was 2 years ago. And now she's like, she actually took over Magic's account.
Wow.
And this is 2 years later, so it's you know, she's my protege. And she looked back, and we're at Cliff Averill, because Cliff mm-hmm. is also her client.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I feel so spoiled. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, 2 years ago, you know, she was working at Starbucks, and now she's able to do a lot of things with what she loves to do for a living.
And that's such a common story in LA of people who are working the part-time jobs, working mm-hmm. the Starbucks, working the movie theater, something like that, pursuing their passions.
But you have to work hard.
Yeah.
It's not going to be handed to you. So, you know, it's, mm-hmm. and she reminds me of myself when I was 19 years old. So that's who I'm going to invest in.
Mm-hmm.
People like her that really, you know, understand what hard work is and appreciate it, and then know that you'll be rewarded.
And that's what a lot of, you know, people who have achieved success, that's a lot of things what they say too, is they want to invest in people who show initiative mm-hmm. and show that hard work.
Absolutely.
What would you consider to be your definition of success? Someone who has achieved a lot, you know, the number of people that you worked with, working with now 1,100 athletes, a year-round business of constantly staying busy, you know, designing all the time, what would you consider to be your definition of success through all that?
Peace and happiness.
Just on a day-to-day basis, in just all aspects of life?
Absolutely. Yeah, if you're content with where you are and you know, we were talking earlier how, okay, I wanted to have a house and a car and all this. Now I'm like, I don't need all this. I want to downgrade. I want to, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you don't need all of that. You have to find inner peace and happiness and you know, give back is yeah. That's my goal now.
Absolutely. And what ways are you doing that, or how do you find that it's best to be able to kind of give back? Is that working in the lives of people?
Yes, absolutely. But also, like I said, teaming up with a lot of my clients who have organizations that we donate and volunteer. My daughter, she, every year we try to do something outside of the community. 3 years ago, we went to the Philippines. She raised money where she purchased computers and printers and sewing machines for my great-grandfather's school. So it was like almost full circle, and, you know, she got to actually go and deliver and understand,
wow.
you know, what giving back means.
Yeah. Well, that is all like the serious questions, but we teased at the beginning of the show and we have the fast, fun fashion questions. And these are questions that I reached out to a lot of my followers last night and viewers and was like, what fashion questions do you have? The fun fashion questions, maybe questions that you've always wondered. So we're going to do just real quick. I'm just going to throw them to you. Take 10, 15 seconds. If you got an answer, Are you ready for this?
Okay.
This is your area of expertise, so okay. this is easy. Most stylish athlete.
Russell Westbrook. Russell?
All right, absolutely. All right. Can you wear white after Labor Day?
Yes.
Yes?
Everyone says no. To me, there's no rules.
All right, all right. That's a big one. How many pairs of shoes should the average guy own? And in comparison, how many purses should the average woman own?
Oh,
is there a too many?
Fair. There's never too many.
There's never too many shoes for guys?
No. I mean, have you seen Russell's? I mean, these guys have 200-300 pairs of shoes.
Is there a minimum?
Minimum? You have to have your basics.
Okay, what are the basics?
You need a black shoe, a black Chelsea boot, you need your tan, browns, all your staple colors.
Awesome. Awesome. I love that. And I even remember you saying that with suits. It's easy to make suits go a long ways. You have like a black suit coat and you can pair it with the gray, the blue.
Exactly.
Right?
Mix and match. Maximize your wardrobe.
There we go. Very nice. Can you wear flip-flops with pants?
No.
Uh-oh. That's cringeworthy.
No, but don't. But I have a picture of the head coach of Miami Dolphins that have pants on with flip-flops. So no,
we're going with a no on that one. This was a big one with women. Can you wear black and brown together? What about black and blue?
Yes. 100%.
Okay.
I love it.
Black pants, brown shoes?
Yes. Contrast.
Definite contrast. Awesome. Best and worst favorite decade of fashion?
Best and worst. Oh, gosh. Best. Okay. I was an 80s girl. Like,
okay.
I loved 80s.
All right.
Worst? There's no worst.
There
for
is
me.
No worst. There you can
no
take
worst.
Something from everything. All right. What is the biggest no-no in fashion for females or males? Is there a cringe-worthy thing that you see for males or females and females?
A no-no. Oh, I'm not into the saggy pants and the low-waisted jeans anymore. All about high-waisted.
All right.
Yeah.
That's for females. How about for males?
Same thing.
Same thing. Awesome. Men, don't rock the saggy pants. Final questions here. Have you ever used camo? Is camo making a comeback?
It's always been around. Yes.
So you're not even under the impression that there was ever a time when it went away.
Never. Never went away. It's back. It's been around for a long time.
And finally, what is something that you would like to try in fashion that you haven't yet, maybe that you see as the future?
Oh, gosh, try as far as, like,
a design, maybe something to throw together.
I'd have to get back to you on that one. I don't know.
I'm sure there's, I can only imagine the thoughts going on in your mind of, like, oh, maybe I could pair this. Or like you're saying, you go to a wedding and you're like, what about this?
Okay, so
one
of my clients posted and I was, like, all over it. So she was going to a wedding and she had her beautiful gown on. She had her furry shoes. And she threw a leather jacket over it. And I was like, you rock.
Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, there's no rules. Have fun. And just, you know, it's all about you.
There we go. It's all about being confident. If that's one thing I think that we've learned from this interview, it's all about confidence, right? If you think you can rock it, you can rock it.
Absolutely.
Very nice. Well, thank you so much for coming in. This was such a fun interview.
Thank you so much.
Like I said, I was nervous because I didn't know what to wear, but I appreciate the stamp approval.
Gosh.
And that started
approved.
Off the...
You have all the staple colors on right now.
I got all
That's
the
perfect.
For those wondering what shoes I'm wearing, too, we're going to bring these things
yes.
up. Here we go. We got the tan suede.
Perfect.
Rocking it. Well, thank you all for joining us. Again, if you're joining us on YouTube, we are live here every Monday at 4:10. We appreciate all of you watching live. iTunes, give us 5 stars. Make sure to follow us away from the show. You can follow me at TheOnlyMC on Twitter and Instagram. Where can they follow up with you?
Alba Legacy.
At Alba Legacy on Instagram,
Legacy.
On Twitter, right?
That's correct.
Very nice. And of course, May, your women's line, when does that come out?
We're launching November 5th.
November.
It'll be exciting.
And that's on the website?
Not yet.
It will be on the website.
Yes.
Awesome. Go check that out. And definitely go check out, if you want some inspiration, some of the styles that she has posted with some of these athletes. It got me thinking, I need to be able to get a new suit. I need to be able to kind of switch up and always add to the collection. Because you can't have too many shoes.
No.
She said it, Mom. She said it. Thank you guys for joining us again. Very sad world. Our thoughts and prayers here from Popcorn Talk are with everybody affected by the situation in Las Vegas. Hopefully we're able to provide some positivity in your lives. We'll see you next time.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.